Good morning, La Trobe Alliance Church family. Today is, by my reckoning, either the 9th or 10th Sunday now that because of the coronavirus lockdown, we've been unable to gather together in person to worship, but we have been able to gather together as a church family virtually by means of our website and other technology, and I am so grateful for that we've been able to continue to stay together during this time. If you're listening in today and you're not part of our church family, I want to welcome you and also want to invite you, come and visit us once we've opened up again. We'd love to have you come. We'd love to have an opportunity to meet you in person. I hope you'll do that. You know, there have been so many evidences of God's grace in the life of our church during these weeks of the lockdown, the last 2.5 months. We're praising God for his hand of protection, that no one in our church has gotten sick, and also for the ongoing ministries that we've been able to continue, including caring for the needs of our shut-ins, as well as reaching out to our community and sharing Christ's love by meeting very real needs in the community and the people and our neighbors around us. In fact, most of you know that over the last 2 Sundays, our guest and outreach committee sponsored a free drive-in lunch. We invited anyone in our community here in Youngstown to come and receive a free hot dog lunch and some kids' activities, and we were able to give away over these last 2 Saturdays somewhere between 80 and 100 of these bag lunches, which also included information about our church and a gospel tract. I also want to share one really fun response that we received to this event. Last week, I received a letter from someone in our community. I don't know who this person is. I suspect maybe it was someone who attended here probably sometime in the distant past. But anyway, she wrote, "I received the flyer about the drive-through lunch and wanted to donate to help pay for the lunches." And enclosed with that letter was a $100 check. Just another small example of the variety of unexpected ways that we are experiencing God's grace during this historic time. You know, another way that God is blessing his people and enlarging his kingdom is through the gospel-filled conversations that many of us have had and are continuing to have during this time. I keep hearing from you about people that you're coming across, sometimes complete strangers, sometimes people you've known for years, who are open to having spiritual conversations and to considering the good news of the gospel. In fact, we know of at least 2 people who have made a profession of faith in Jesus as a result of someone in our church loving them enough to share the gospel with them. And I know of several others who have taken significant spiritual steps forward to the Lord or in the Lord in these recent weeks. And that's really exciting. God is at work, church family. One of the things I want to do, in fact, during one of our first Sundays back together, is I'd love to have a sharing time where anyone and maybe even everyone in our church just has an opportunity to share personal stories about how they've seen God at work during this time in their lives and in their communities, how they are having open gospel conversations with people. Love to just hear those stories together as a church family when we're able to do that. Well, this morning we're going back to the format that we started with when all of this began, which is a roundtable discussion between the 3 of us who have been called by the Lord to currently serve as elders at La Trobe Alliance Church. And so I'm joined by Brett and David. Good morning, guys.
Morning.
Good morning.
This, as I said, is how we started 9 or 10 weeks ago. And so it seems appropriate to me as we're anticipating this season closing hopefully sooner than later, for us to meet again this way today. And so I want to start off this morning by asking both of you guys a couple of questions. And if you just share some things with our church family. Here's the 2 questions. First, what has the Lord been impressing on your heart personally during this season? And then second, what are the evidences of grace that you're observing, not only in your own life personally or that of your family, but in and through our church family as well as you interact with people from our church?
One of the things that God has been impressing on me is the idea that we are a family of God here at La Trobe Alliance Church. And, you know, we're part of God's family. And so it's the concept of, you know, one body, one spirit, one family, one fellowship together. And when we get to the second part of what we're talking about today, I'm going to elaborate on that a little bit more. But the other thing that really impacted me was the idea of calling. And, you know, we're all called as Christians to do certain things, but also calling is, you know, what we do as part of our living or the situation in life where we find ourselves in, the circumstances that we find ourselves in. And one of the positions that I have not been in is not having a business and not functioning in that light, and so essentially being unemployed. And we've had a business for 40 years, and thank God he has provided for us for those 40 years. But right now, you know, no one's going to art and craft shows. They're not even scheduled until August or later, if then at all. And so this is a position that I find myself in a business way and also in a personal way. And when I was looking at this, I realized that, you know, God has called me to be in this position right now as well. And so I need to look at my life in a new light as to what I'm doing. And there's others in our church that have found themselves in that position as well. So the position that we're in may or may not be the position we like from a human perspective, but regardless, God has a purpose in it for us to make the most of the opportunities that this position that he now has called us to bring glory to him by doing so. And we have to make the most of the opportunities of our calling, and that would be bringing, by if we do that, that will bring glory to God. But also, wherever we find ourselves in, whether we have a job or don't have a job, or have a business or don't have a business, or stuck at home, or, you know, a lot of other parameters, you know, students are as well, you know, our youth are dealing with this as well, and not being able to have a, you know, friendships or relationships and have that in your life. You know, whatever our current calling is, God has a plan and an opportunity for us. And part of our opportunity is also giving thanks in our situation, whatever that may be. So I need to be giving God thanks in a situation that, you know, right now I don't have a job, but I need to thank God for that. And, you know, we may not have, you know, a functioning business, or we may not be able to get with our friends, but God has a purpose in that. And we have seen that met out in the people at La Trobe Alliance Church. And he's given us opportunities to bring him glory, but also, you know, to take the advantage of that to be able to talk to people about Christ. And the couple passages that came to me regarding this, and this is Paul speaking in Ephesians 3:1, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for the sake of you Gentiles." That's in Ephesians 3:1. In Ephesians 4:4, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received." And then in Ephesians 6:20, Paul speaking again says, "I am an ambassador in chains." Now, obviously, we know who Paul is and how, you know, he was an evangelist, he was an apostle, he went around, wrote most of the New Testament, and his ministry was vital, but he is in this position of being a prisoner in chains, an ambassador in chains, a prisoner for the Lord. And so when I read those verses, and it was impacted me during the men's Bible study on Saturday morning that we were doing, I realized that wherever we are as a prisoner, you know, we have to live a life worthy of the calling we have received. Whether we're in chains, God has a purpose for that. And obviously, God worked mightily through Paul even while he was a prisoner. In Ephesians 3:1, it says, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for the sake of you Gentiles." And so the purpose of this was for the sake of the Gentiles. In Ephesians 3:2, it says, "Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you, that is, the mystery made known by the revelation. The mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs," which is part of a family, part of that together, heirs, we're part of the family of God, "with Israel, members together of one body and sharers together in the promise of Jesus." And this is Paul continuing, "I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles in the boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery. It continues, his intent was that now, through the church, which we are as a family of God, the body of Christ here at La Trobe Alliance Church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to his eternal purpose. So we have purpose in where God, where we are right now, an opportunity that he accomplishes in Jesus Christ our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you. And, you know, so we're going through these sufferings and things that, you know, we perceive as not ideal, but there's a purpose for it, and we're not to be discouraged by that. And there's a purpose in it, which is our to God's glory. Then in Ephesians 4:1, it says, as a prisoner for the Lord, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. And this is the part about one body, one spirit. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called into one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over and through all and in all. So wherever we are, he is in that, and he knows where we are. It's not a surprise to him what's going on. And so this has really impacted me, just looking at my life as to, you know, why don't I have a business right now? Well, there's a purpose in that. You know, why do some of us not have a job right now? Or why are we not able to get with our friends? And ironically, the inverse has happened for some of us, that we've been able to talk to people more about God, and people have opened up the spiritual things by what's going on. And I think of like the stoning of Stephen and just how that terrible situation where Stephen was stoned for his faith launched the gospel as the diaspora of Christians went out from that and scattered, you know, out of Jerusalem to Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And that was the inception of the going out of the church. And so God puts us in these positions, not like we're martyrs like Stephen, but God puts us in these positions to be a testimony for him. Not going around grumbling that you don't have a job or a business or you can't see your friends, but going around saying God has a purpose in it. And you know, part of the grace that God has given us, which is amazing, is, you know, regarding provision. You know, God has provided in ways that we had never been provided before. And I mentioned about not being able to go to art and craft shows. Our online sales, which are a very small portion of our business, have increased in a remarkable way, which is seeing God's provision there, and it's been kind of amazing. The other provision is, and many of you know, my mom was diagnosed with cancer weeks back, and she has breast cancer, and initially they told us that because of the COVID crisis, that she would have to wait at least until June 3rd to even be looking at any sort of operation for her. Well, obviously that's not a position that we want to be in. And, you know, we and you started to pray, and we asked God that my mom would not have to go through chemo or radiation. And then the doctor told us that she won't have to go through chemo or radiation, which was remarkable. They said that the cancer was a slow-going amount, that waiting till June 3rd would not be, you know, detrimental to my mom. And the other thing is that you may not know is my mom and I are in business together. And for her to have an operation now when we're not functioning as a business is ideal, because she would have had to take this time off and not been able to work anyway if she went through this. And had we had shows going on, that would have been even a more difficult situation for us. So basically, we were able to just focus on what's going on with my mom and not have to worry or concern about all this other stuff. And so God has just been amazing through that. And I've heard, you know, they did the surgery, they looked at her lymph nodes, they have not seen anything yet, they'll know for sure in a week or so. But we asked that God would, make sure that it hasn't metastasized. And so far, what the doctors are telling us, it hasn't. But also, we asked that my mom would not be in pain from the surgery. And obviously, there's surgery pain, but the pain that the doctors and other people were saying that she would have was a lot less than what we thought it would be, and which is remarkable. And so we're still praying that there's no infection or no complications, but God has done amazing things through this situation of putting us to not being able to function as a business. You know, my mom has cancer at the ideal time, if you know what I mean. And you know, he just has been providing for us. So, you know, God has worked mightily in our life, and I've seen his grace to me and our family through this. And I've seen that in the church family as well. You know, people, thank God no one in our church family has had major financial issues. Beyond that, I've heard stories of people, you know, that were concerned finding out things that are working out in their lives that they weren't sure were going to work out. And so I'm just praising God and thanking God, as he says to do, in this circumstance. And in Ephesians 6:10-20, it finishes up with, and I'm praying in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. And I have one last verse to share about it, and that's also in Ephesians. Be very careful then how you live, not as wise and unwise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil, and aren't they? Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. Even if you don't have a job, even if you don't have a business, even if you have cancer, and it finishes with, in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. So wherever we are, whatever we're going through, you know, with our friends or our job situations, we need to be praising God because we know that he has the best for us in these situations. And it's amazing when you look at it, it's always about being together and speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, songs from the Spirit. And it's all about doing it as a body of Christ. And so hopefully soon we will be able to be back worshiping together. And it's amazing how God has provided us the provision to be able to do this via audio and video files to share worship with you guys every week. So it's been kind of interesting and challenging, and God has opened up our eyes and our faith as well. So praise God.
So Brett, as you were just sharing, and thanks for those thoughts, by the way, the Lord brought to my mind Joseph and his story, and how in Genesis 50, at the end of this account of all these trials and blessings in Joseph's life, his brothers, after their dad dies, they're concerned that Joseph's going to come back after me now. And Joseph responds to them, and he says, and this is my paraphrase, but he says basically, you guys intended this for evil. What you did to me, you meant for evil. But God intended this for good, for the saving of many people. And that's kind of what I heard you saying, that it wasn't necessarily a person doing wrong to you, but this is a hard circumstance, and yet you're seeing God's hand in here, and you're seeing how God is using this for good. So rather than focusing on the losses or the challenge or the hard things that you guys are going through right now, you're remaining optimistic, and you're seeing the blessings in the midst of these challenges, which is, I think, exactly what we're supposed to do as believers.
Yeah, I mean, it's just God has really encouraged us as, you know, we're going through this. And as you praise God and give thanks to him, his Spirit comforts our heart. And you know, and we don't have a spirit of fear that we need to live under, but you know, we don't have to worry about anything because he will provide what we need for what his purpose is in our life.
Something that I really got, that I've really had been impressed with over the last couple of weeks is just that we serve a God that is always present. We serve a God who is always working on our behalf. None of this, we've talked about it before, but none of this surprises our God. He's not surprised by what's going on in the number of cases, what's going on with our economy, what's going on with the world right now. He's not surprised by any of that. He is always working for us. He has always been working for us. And, you know, whether it's just meeting the needs of our church, in our governing board meeting last week, we got a chance to see how the Lord is just taking care of this church in even surprising ways. He's just been thoroughly taking care of the needs that we have as a church body, the needs of individuals around us. Health-wise, financially, he's just been taking care of a lot of different things that are going on right now. And I was just impressed with, you know, Brett, you were talking about what Paul had said and what Paul had been going through, just words that he gave to us. I went back to David, and you know, the Psalms are just so impactful. I was reading Psalm 34, verse 4. He said, "I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears." And I get a chance to work with people who have fears. It's a large part of their life, a large portion of their lives, and a large portion of I think, so many people in society are our fears, our anxieties. And sometimes that comes at night. Sometimes that comes during the day. Sometimes that comes when we open a letter from a bill collector. Sometimes that just hits us when we're not sure what's going on. But it says, the Lord answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. And he went through a lot. David went through a lot with so many things of from family, from sin in his life, from people going after him. And there were just so many things that were unsure. But he never lost faith that his God was there, whether it be battling a giant on the battlefield or battling a giant problem in his life. He never lost that knowledge that his God was always there and always fighting for him. And I have been seeing that as God works throughout our church. We've got a chance to see healing of individuals. Brett, your mom just working with how he's been working in her life. I've got a chance to see that with my aunt. Other people that just salvation coming to other people throughout this. It's just been awesome to see growth, as you talked about earlier, Kurt, with growth in people's lives that we've had the opportunity to talk to and to work with other people and just see how God's been using other people that we don't even think about. But he has it all under control. We've had the opportunity to work in projects in the church and get some things accomplished, just work together. I've had the opportunity to work with some other people that I haven't really had the chance to work with before. And it's just been so great to see that and see how he's opened up so many situations that we can work together. Another passage in Psalms that I was really led to was Psalm 94, verse 19. And it says, "When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought me joy." And again, it's just that idea that we can be sure that our God is always with us. And nothing can ever separate us from his love. In fact, Paul wrote to the Roman church, Romans 8:38-39. We cling to that a lot, but it says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." That says it all. I mean, nothing can separate us from God.
Brett and Dave, thanks for sharing your hearts and what the Lord is impressing on your hearts and minds with us. this is part of the reason I wanted to do this roundtable format today, is because I think it's important as a church family that we be able to hear each other's hearts and hear what God is saying and speaking to us. Obviously, the big question that's hanging over us right now as spiritual leaders, the proverbial elephant in the room, is the question that's being asked by many in our church family as well, and that's the question, what's next? Where are we going from here? When are we going to be resuming some of our church ministries in person? When are we going to be able to gather again in person as a church family for worship or teaching or edification or fellowship? When is this going to happen? And our church family is looking to us to lead in this area. The short answer is, the three of us have discussed this, is that we haven't made any final decisions yet. Frankly, there are just too many considerations and unanswered questions for us to be comfortable announcing something this past week or even this morning. But we are, and we have been for this entire time, really, in extended prayer and discussion about these questions. We're seeking the Lord's direction on these matters. We're trusting that He will make His timing clear, as well as what it's going to look like when we do start meeting together again. And this is probably, even more than the timing, the more difficult question. Will we resume all of our church ministries in person all at once, or will we stagger some of them? What's it going to look like for corporate worship? These are questions that we're seeking the Lord's guidance, and as He provides it, rest assured, church family, we will be in communication with you. We're as eager to resume our regular ministries as you are, but we want to do it according to the timing and in the way that the Lord establishes for us. I asked each of you guys to prepare some other thoughts, additional thoughts, especially to share some of the biblical commands or principles or truths that, again, the Lord is impressing on your heart or is perhaps revealing to you through your time in prayer or through your time in His Word. How is the Lord highlighting for you the truths and the principles that are really relevant during this time as we ask these questions about when and how to open the church? Brett, you want to just share some of your thoughts with us about that?
In the beginning, I mentioned about one body, one spirit, one family, one fellowship, and together. We find this all over and over in Scripture about we're all one body, we're all to be of one spirit, not to be, but we all are one spirit. We're all one family. You hear together as you strive together. And these themes are because we're part of the family of God. And we've been going over for quite some time talking about the family of God. But that's what we are. We are heirs. We are part of God's family. And I don't know, but it's good to be close to family. But God designed the church, the body of Christ, to be interdependent and function better together. Our Christian faith is not to be lived in a vacuum, not to be lived on our own. He wants us to be together, to fellowship together, to be vital, thriving, and appealing to those that don't know Christ as well as they watch us fellowship together. That's what God wants us to be, is not only fellowshipping together because we enjoy that ourselves, but also to appeal to others that don't know Christ. In Genesis 1:26, we see that God Himself is relational. It says in the Bible in Genesis 1:26, "Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness." And I think we have to understand that this is before everything's created, but I mean, well, this is at the beginning when God's creating everything, but He wants us to be together, to fellowship together, to be vital, thriving, and appealing to those that don't know Christ. And so not only is our fellowship to be together that we enjoy each other and worship together, but also it is appealing to those that don't know Christ. In Genesis 1:26, we see that God is relational. And this is God talking in the Trinity to Himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And He says, "Then God said, let us make man in our own image, in our own image make man." And I think that it's important to know. So God is relational in himself, and that he created us to be relational. In Genesis 2:18, the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." So out of many, we're one body. In Romans 12:4, "For just as each of us have one body with many members, and these members do not have all the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." And now segueing to 1 Corinthians 12, the other part of this passage, "Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jew or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given this one Spirit to drink." So God designed us that we need each other, that we function better together, and regretfully during this time we have not been able to be together in this way. And so I am looking forward so much to this happening, that we can get back together, and just how a celebration will be of just being back together. A key passage that sums this up is in Hebrews 10:23-25. Let us hold on, well, not just sums it up, but it tells us what we should be doing as believers. "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promises faithful, and let us consider how we may spur one another onto our love and good deeds, not giving up the meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." So God wants us to meet together so that we could spur one another on toward love and good needs. So God has designed that we're essentially to be operating with other Christians that support, encourage, and uplift us. And I'm not going to read the whole verse, but in Acts 2:42-47, God gives us a pattern to follow of what this kind of looks like. And this is where our theme verse for the year, but it says, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts." So basically, they were devoted to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread. All the believers were together. Every day they continued to meet together. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts. They praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. They were devoted to being together. They were devoted to each other. An intimacy and closeness of the fellowship of believers is evidenced in this passage. They were devoted to the fellowship, worshiping together, sharing meals together. They took care of each other's needs. They were glad together and praised God together. And one thing I've seen during this time is we have seen people's needs being taken care of, especially the people that are shut in or have medical issues. I know many in our church have stepped up to try to help them out. And also me and my household, with my mom having cancer, many families have come alongside us and provided meals and uplifted us in prayer and support, and have done things to help us out to get the place ready for my mom to be able to function in the house with handrails and different things. So the key, though, is that God's worked during this time, but he wants us to be together. And these people, these believers, enjoyed being together and the blessings that came from them. We all are family of believers, the family of God, as we've been talking about. And the result of the closeness of the fellowship of believers was what non-believers wanted it to be part of. And we find this in the last verse, in our theme verse for the year. And this is the result of what happened of them being together. "And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved."
So we turn to Scripture for so much wisdom when we go through unprecedented things, when we are going through things in our lives where we just have never gone through them before. We turn to God's Word to show us how different people have handled situations and how God uses people going through just crazy times. I was looking at Jeremiah 17, verses 7 and 8, and it was a time when obviously there were some rough times, rough things going on. But in chapter 17, verse 7 and 8, we hear, "But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. That's just such a thought-provoking scripture. It's just something that we can hold to with this. In times of drought, there's no need to fear. In times of rough times, there's nothing that we have to be afraid of. And we see that with, as you had said about the shut-ins, as seen throughout our church family, just what kind of needs are there that somebody else can meet? We got a chance to talk in our youth study last night just about how God meets needs and how God's working in so many different people's lives with this. I just really appreciate the encouragement. I appreciate the prayers of our church family, the folks that when I call to check on somebody or text somebody to find out how they're doing, I'm asked a lot of times, or I'm met even before I call somebody to ask about how I'm doing. And it's just, our church is just such an amazing family that just stands up for each other and backs each other. And as we go into this time where there's a lot of uncertainty, you know, we're trying to be sensitive to what God wants us to do. We're trying to be sensitive to people wanting to wear masks, people not wanting to wear masks, people just in the area that are concerned about this, or other people are more concerned about something else. And we just are so blessed by the encouragement of other people in this church, and we just so appreciate that. I know the three of us sitting here, we cannot wait to join together and give each other hugs or a handshake or just to sing together as we worship the Lord. We can't wait for that, and we're just so looking forward to that time. And we're seeking the Lord to make sure we're doing that in the best time. But again, we just appreciate your prayers, your encouragement, and just the unity that this body has.
I've been concerned by what I'm seeing in recent days in our nation, not with our church, but in our nation and on the news, as the various containment and mitigation orders remain in place or are in some places slowly being lifted. And I know I shouldn't be surprised by what I'm seeing. This seems to be a pattern that has become all too familiar anytime we've experienced a national tragedy or crisis. My observation is that initially, for a period of time, we come together pretty well as a nation to respond to an initial threat or a crisis that takes place. But it seems like the longer it goes on, the more we start to disagree, and then we begin to divide. And then it starts getting really ugly. And I feel like that's kind of where we're at now, what we're starting to see on kind of a national level. We've got people protesting and counter-protesting. Our elected officials are pointing fingers and using heated rhetoric to attack their opponents and people who they disagree with. People are accusing each other of being selfish or cowardly or even traitors. This is all rhetoric I've seen in print in the news this past week. And we're starting to see these cracks develop, and they're becoming larger and larger. And all of this just serves to divide people and to cause even more animosity and ill will between the people of this nation. But that's not my primary concern. I mean, it does bother me, but that's not my primary concern. My primary concern is that this doesn't happen in our church, among God's people. The reality is that we all have different opinions about many different aspects relating to COVID-19 and the appropriatenesses of the responses to the virus. And for some people, these are very strong opinions, and they have the potential to put us on opposite sides of the issues. And while I think that biblically there's not a problem with us having different opinions or perspectives, but there is a huge problem if we allow these differences to separate us or to cause disunity or disharmony in our church family. And that's my biggest concern, and I think that's the concern you guys have shared as well, and that's part of the reason we're being cautious and we're moving forward slowly on this. This week, I've been thinking about the difference from a biblical perspective between unity and uniformity. And frankly, I think the scripture has a lot to say about the first and virtually nothing to say about the second. If you do a quick word study in the New Testament on the words united, unified, unity, or one, you'll find many, many references. I'd like to just give you a sampling of a few of these. And as I'm doing that, by the way, if you're listening in, I'd encourage you to get a pen and paper and jot down these references and then come back to them later on your own and study these a little bit more extensively. When Jesus prayed for his disciples in the upper room on the night before his crucifixion, he prayed this, and this is John 17:23. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Jesus linked our unity with a sign of God's love. It's a sign to the whole world that God loves his church in the way that he loves Jesus, and that sign is the unity that we share together. And then in Matthew 23:8, Jesus warned his disciples against raising some up among them to elevated positions of respect or authority or power. In other words, not establishing a power structure in the church. And this is what he said, because you have only one master, one teacher, one father, and you are all brothers and sisters. I take this to be Jesus saying, we're all in this together. No one is better. No one is worse. No one should be put up on a pedestal or put down below anybody else. And Paul, I think, had a similar concern, and so he was constantly admonishing the church to be united in heart and mind and love for each other. In Ephesians 4:3, he wrote, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. That's a passage you were alluding to earlier, Brett. In fact, again, in verses 12 and 13 of that same chapter, he went on to remind them that the Lord gave the church apostles, evangelists, prophets, pastor teachers to build up the church until we reach unity in the church, in the faith, and in the knowledge of the Son of God. And so for Paul, one of the clearest signs of spiritual maturity in the church is, in fact, the unity of the church. Conversely, we see in books like 1st and 2nd Corinthians that fighting, bickering, factions, disagreements are all signs of spiritual immaturity and worldliness in the church. And so Paul, in fact, admonishes the Corinthians, saying in 1 Corinthians 1:10, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another so that there may be no divisions among you and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. And again, in 2 Corinthians 13:11, he closes his letter saying, finally, brothers, aim for perfection. Listen to my appeal. Be of one mind and live in peace. He writes something very similar to this to the church at Philippi, writing in Philippians 2:2, make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and in purpose. In Colossians 3:14, he admonished, over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Love is what binds all of the virtues that we are to put on as Christ followers, and it results in unity in the church. In Romans 12:16, we are to live in harmony with each other. In Romans 14:19, we are to make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. In Romans 15, 5 and 6, Paul prays, "May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." It's to God's glory that we are united together in Christ. And, of course, it's not just Paul who says things like this, who admonishes the church to unity. In 1 Peter 3:8, Peter wrote, "Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind." Well, I think you get the picture. Unity, humility, brotherly love, being like-minded, giving preference to each other. These are the characteristics of a mature Christ follower and a mature, spirit-filled church. And church family, isn't this the kind of church that we want to be? Isn't this the kind of Christ follower that you want to be? Now, unity doesn't equal uniformity. And I think this is really important to make this point. We can be united without being uniform. Uniformity suggests that we're all the same. When I was in the Marine Corps, we had to learn how to do certain drills with our rifles so that upon command, the entire platoon would change the position of their rifle, maybe bringing it up off the ground in a position of parade rest up to right shoulder arms, and then on the next command, taking it over and moving it over to left shoulder arms. And it was to be done at exactly the same time, in exactly the same way, so that it appeared as one motion between every man. That's uniformity. We all do exactly the same thing at exactly the same time, in exactly the same way, and we all think exactly the same way as well. But that's not what Paul and Peter and Jesus are prescribing for the church. We don't all have to think exactly the same way. We don't all have to dress exactly the same way. We don't all have to hold the same opinions or value the same things. We don't have to be uniform, but we do have to be united. We do have to be unified in love. So how does this apply to what's happening right now with COVID-19 and everything else that's happening in our nation and our church? Well, I think we all agree there is room in the church, there's room in our church for differences of opinion. In fact, I think we celebrate the fact that we can have differences of opinion. We all agree in love, and we all agree that love really is the transcendent motive for how we respond and how we make decisions at all times, but especially during this time. But we may disagree on specifically how to best express love, or to our neighbors or to each other. How do we best express that love in the name of Jesus? Or what is the most loving thing to do right now? Some are focused almost entirely on the medical and health issues of protecting people from sickness as the greatest expression of love. And so their perspective is, we've got to stop the spread of COVID-19 at all cost. And we need to do whatever it takes, even if it means sheltering at home indefinitely, even if it means closing the doors of businesses and restaurants and churches, because the greatest need and the most loving thing to do is protect the lives of people. Others believe that the most loving thing we can do is move back to normal life as quickly as possible. They point out that the cost of this has not only been lives, but livelihood, and that the medical considerations are only one small portion of the big picture that we should be considering. For these people, it's not loving to continue to isolate people who desperately need human contact and touch, nor is it loving to pick and choose which businesses survive and which ones go under. And this is just one specific area, maybe one specific illustration of how followers of Jesus may have different opinions and outlooks. There are wide differences in how people interpret the data that is being released right now and whether it is being reliably reported or intentionally manipulated. Every single one of our politicians are appealing to science to support their measures, and yet their interpretations of the science are wildly diverse. Most of us want to believe that our public officials are motivated by the desire to do what is best for the people they serve. And yet the finger-pointing and political maneuvering causes us to question if this is true. Judges in one state uphold almost exactly the same order or directive that is overturned in another. The guidelines and directives we're receiving from all of the different sources are often unclear, are sometimes self-contradicting, and often appear to be random and inconsistent, which engenders doubt and confusion and frustration. And the result, as I said at the beginning of what I wanted to share, is that the cracks of division are now sweeping across and through our nation. The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ must not fall into these cracks of anger and division. So how do we maintain our unity in the midst of these times? How do we allow for diversity of beliefs and opinions and even strong convictions on these matters without shattering our unity in Christ? And how do we move forward as a church with starting ministries back up and resuming the corporate activities of our church, including worship services? Well, let me suggest three biblical principles that I believe should guide our steps. The first I've already laid out. Brett, you talked about this as well. It's unity. Unity. Unity in love, unity in the Spirit, unity in humility, as Peter writes in 1 Peter 3:8. As I was thinking about this, I was reminded of a couple other passages of Scripture. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul is writing about the freedoms that we enjoy in Christ and about the abuse of those freedoms that destroys unity. In verses 23 and 24, he writes, and you mentioned this as well, Brett, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. It is a little bit of an ironic statement he's making. I think he's actually quoting a popular expression of his day. Everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive. Nobody should seek his own good, but the good of others. And so here, I think, is the second principle guiding our steps, seeking the good of others. Paul is admonishing the Corinthians that just because we have freedoms in Christ doesn't mean we should always use them. I have freedom in Christ to follow my conscience in a host of areas. Paul specifically deals with eating meat that has been sacrificed to an idol, which was a major social issue in the church at Corinth. And he specifically says that if your conscience allows you to do so, then great, eat the meat, but don't do it if you're going to tempt your brother or your sister in Christ to violate their own conscience and thus sin against the Lord. In this particular case, it's better to refrain from eating for the sake of a brother or a sister in Christ. Now, I can't make specific applications of this for every person in our church because it's different for each one, except simply to say that out of love, we sometimes need to set aside our own personal preferences for the sake of a brother or sister in Christ and for the sake of the gospel. Paul continues in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31, he concludes, "So whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the church of God, even as I try to please everybody in every way, for I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved." Part of our consideration is not just for the good of our brothers and sisters in Christ, but it's also for the testimony of Jesus and his church among the lost. And also, sometimes we need to put the needs of the larger group ahead of the needs or the rights of individuals. There are very real times when we might need to say, this probably isn't what is best for a particular individual, but it is what is best for the church as a whole. There are times in the church when the majority need to set aside their rights and privileges and preferences in order to serve or protect or care for the needs of the minority or even one individual, but there are also times that caring for the needs of the entire church is more important than any one individual. Seeking the needs of others, I think, goes both ways. Sometimes the group sacrifices for the good of the individual, but other times the individual sacrifices for the good of the group. And the motive for either one is always love. As is the third principle which should guide our steps, which I find in Romans 12:10. Paul writes, "Love must be sincere, hate what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in brotherly love." The New American Standard Version words it a little bit differently. It says, "Be devoted to one another in brotherly love, give preference to one another in honor." And so the third principle I draw here is give preference to one another in honor. Someone might say, well, that's just restating the second principle of seeking the good of others. But no, not exactly. Giving preference to one another in honor means that we're not just concerned with their welfare, but that we also value and honor their thoughts and their opinions, their convictions, even when they're different from our own. You see, we all tend to think we're right. At least I do. Maybe you guys don't. That my opinion is the correct opinion because I'm the one holding it, right? That our preference is the right preference, that our conclusions are the right conclusions. And if you disagree with me, if you see things differently, well, I can love you. I can tolerate that your opinion or your conclusions are different, even if it's wrong. But to give preference to another in honor means that I'm willing to consider your preferences and your opinions and your different viewpoint without putting a value judgment on it or without ascribing motives to it. Let me give you an example. Last week, a prominent official accused some who have stated that they will defy his orders and open up for business of cowardice. He said they are cowards. That's the exact word that he used. And in doing so, he ascribed a very negative motive to people simply for disagreeing with him. Again, brothers and sisters, we've got to make sure we don't do this as a church. We may at times disagree with each other, and in fact, we may disagree strongly at times with each other. As we as elders are making decisions about the next steps for our church, I am certain that not everyone is going to agree fully with all of our decisions. It will be too fast for some and too slow for others, too restrictive for some and too free for others. And we can disagree on some of these things, but we honor the Lord Jesus when, even when we disagree, we give preference to each other in honor. And we don't ascribe motives such as selfishness or lack of concern. And we don't attach moral judgments such as this is morally wrong to make this decision. Rather, as a church family, we give preference to one another in honor, believing the best even when we disagree. We seek the good of others, recognizing that sometimes the majority sacrifices for the good of the individual, and sometimes the individual sacrifices for the good of the majority. And third, we pursue unity, always unity. My friends, if we can do these things over the coming weeks, we will emerge stronger in Christ, more deeply committed to each other as a church family, and the name of Jesus will be honored through the gospel witness of this church. Either of you guys want to respond?
I agree, and as we as elders make this decision as to what it's going to look like when we come back to worship together, my concerns are exactly the same as Kurt's and Dave's. And we don't want to offend anyone with the decision we make. We don't want to lose anyone over a decision that we would make. Also, we want to respect everyone in their position. And we may have honest disagreements about what we're doing, but we might have to put that aside so that we can make sure that we have unity. We want to respect everyone. We don't want to have anyone offended. But, whatever decision we make is... there's the risk of issues. And the neat thing about our church is we love each other. We have tremendous unity. We have tremendous trust in each other, and God holds us together. And I think that's important to keep in mind. We don't want anyone to have a perceived sleight of hand, you know, not sleight of hand, but a perceived slight to, you know, our decision is against them in any way personally. And also decisions are different for, you know, one's age or one's pre-existing conditions, things that are, you know, issues that people have to deal with. And this decision has to be a decision that each of us makes for ourselves as well as to how we're coming back. But the biggest thing is we don't want to have division and unrest, and not we want to have peace and as we go through this process. And so we have prayed, and we have sought God in trying to figure out what His will is here. We've asked Him for wisdom, and we know that He will give us wisdom. I just would like to thank you all in advance, just trusting that no matter what we decide, that we'll all enter this in unity and come out of it on the other side in unity and love. And frankly, we have been praying that God would grow our church during this time. And we have seen things happen that are pretty remarkable. And it's so exciting. And I just think about the outreach that we had to the community with the, you know, with the food, you know, with the free lunches over the past two weekends. You know, we literally passed out 370 flyers in Youngstown. We hit every house, and I counted, except for 20 houses in the entire Youngstown area here. They, with information about our church, and then those that came, we gave them, you know, lunch and a gospel tract and information and a letter from Pastor Kurt. And then we took stuff to the Grove for the nurses and the nursing help there and the faculty, the people that work there. And they were very kind and gave us a thank you. And we took stuff to them today as well and to the Union Mission. And so God is working even during this time. But as we come back together, we need to be believing God for bigger and more amazing things. And I just think we're so poised for growth. So I would just encourage you all to continue to invite people to listen to our service and also to continue to invite people to our church as well. And so pray for our wisdom.
Yeah, and just real quick, can I also point out that we did it in a very loving and responsible way. You know, we followed reasonable precautions. We did not go out in large groups. We didn't go, you know, knocking on doors, speaking to people. We just tucked them in the door, right? And the folks who were out handing out the meals as people came by had the masks on. So, yeah, these ministries are going on, but those of you who aren't involved with these ministries know that while they are going on, we are still making every effort to not only abide by what our officials are asking us to do, but also to demonstrate Christ's love by making wise and reasonable decisions about how to do this.
Yeah, and make no mistake, I know the three of us sitting here are really looking forward to the time that we can all be together and worship corporately. It's been just so much fun, whether it be youth, whether it be guys study, whether it be prayer meetings, just to be unified, that we can talk to the Lord, talk to each other, just hear each other's issues that are going on around us, pray for each other, and just be in God's Word together. It's been wonderful to do that. I hope that we can continue doing that, and the relationships that we're building throughout that, I hope that continues and it just continues to grow. And with all this, keep in mind Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear, I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Don't forget, God is not ever away from us. He's not ever apart from us. He loves us, and there's no need for us to fear. So we're going to continue even this week to watch. We're going to continue this week to just to listen and be in prayer about this and be be talking about this. Please continue to pray for us. Pray in this. Pray for the decisions. Don't hesitate to call us if you have questions or concerns, or you want to talk about something. It's been great to talk to different people about questions that they've had. So continue to do that, and please, please, please continue to pray for us, and pray for the leading of the Holy Spirit when we are to return together corporately.
Guys, is there anything else that either of you, as we begin to wrap up here, would like to share with our church family? Any other final thoughts?
Well, I'll wrap it up then. We have come to the end of our time together over the website electronically. And as always, it's just such a joy to know that even though we're not in person, our spirits are united with our church family. And we can all gather and listen to a message like this together. I hope this will provoke some conversation in your household or with other church family members or with other people that are in your life. I asked the question a while ago, what's next for La Trobe Alliance Church? And I said, well, you know, we don't have specific details right now. The Lord hasn't given us a green light to move in any particular direction yet. But there is one thing certainly that I think we can all be doing, and David and Brett, you guys have each said this already, but please be praying for us. We will be making decisions as the Lord speaks to us through His Word, as the Spirit directs our hearts, and as we make these decisions, we will be communicating them to our church family. In the meantime, I do want to encourage you all to do a couple of things, even this week. First, avail yourself of the opportunities that we do have for teaching and fellowship through the online studies, through prayer meeting. And second, now that the stay-at-home order has been lifted, I would really encourage you to reach out in person to others in our church family. Be wise about how you do it. There may be some who would still prefer to not have that personal contact, so let's be sensitive to that. But I think in general, our church family are ready to spend time with each other, and so let's open up our homes to each other or meet at a park or go for a walk together. Wear a mask if you feel that that's what you ought to do, or refrain from hugging or handshaking if that's what you feel you ought to do. But I think our governing authorities have given us that green light and have said we think it's okay to start doing these kinds of activities again. And so I think the time has come for us to do that. And when you do that, use that time to pray for each other and to share with each other how God is blessing you and the many evidences of grace that you've been seeing day by day. Brett, I'm going to ask you if you would just close our time in prayer.
Lord, we come into your presence. We want to be thankful for everything that's happened during these weeks of going through the COVID-19 crisis. And Lord, we know that you have a purpose and a plan in it. And we thank you that we're part of your plan. And Lord, we praise you that you have answered prayer. We praise you that you have worked mightily. And we thank you for the situations that we each face. Some of us have struggled with losing our job or facing layoffs or a business. Others, you know, have personal issues or financial issues that might be going on. I also think of, you know, we don't have contact with each other or our friends, and just, you know, how you can feel lonely or not in touch, or how you can feel not connected to the body. And I think, Lord, that you're giving us a green light to move forward. We praise you for that. And we know that we have a decision to make. I pray for wisdom for us as well. And Lord, we also just pray for those in our congregation that are just suffering with health issues, ongoing pain, or just you know, getting different things in line with the doctor or healing, Lord. And we know that you know who they are. And I just lift them up to you, Lord. And Lord, we just want to close with the prayer from Paul in Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than what we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.